You're listening to Remotely One, a podcast that educates, entertains, and inspires you to take your life back from the office commute. I'm Rick, a former beer rep who left the warehouse to become a voice actor and digital creator.
And I'm Kaleem, a remote work advocate and consultant. We're going to speak with some of the top professionals who have managed to avoid the commute as they share stories from the most inspiring to the most comical, all while working remotely.
Man, this sounds awesome. Let's clock in.
All right, here we are. We are in the tandem booth, chilling with some tandem folks. I am so excited. We are at Transform. It's been live. It's been hot all week. So I'm going to introduce our guest today. All right. So one of our guests today are from Redding, California. They currently reside in Denver, Colorado. An interesting fact about this same person, they are licensed to drive a forklift in Alaska. Guess who? We don't know. We don't know who it could be. Let's see. Our other guests, they are from Westbrook, Connecticut, or just Connecticut. I mean, everybody just says Connecticut, you know what I mean? But they currently reside in Sydney, Australia, mate. It's horrible. I had to do it. And something about this guest, they are an ocean swimmer, which means they swim out about a mile out. You ever seen open water? Oh, it's creepy. Okay. They were both co-workers at Gusto. All right. Just a little tiny company you might have heard of. They do some things, payroll, all that cool stuff. Oh, they co-founded another company prior to this company called Mintable, which was a leadership development program. And based on the workshop that I saw yesterday, sold out, people on the floor. It was intense. They still have them leadership development skills. There's no doubt about that. They are the co-founders of Tandem, okay, which helps companies manage and facilitate continuous feedback. Listeners and viewers, please give a warm welcome to Melissa Miller and Roland Humphrey. Oh, we are here, baby. We're here. Yes, the intro. That's what I try to do. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for having us out here. It's been super fun watching both of y'all at the booth. The workshop was amazing. You must be very happy. So how was the experience so far?
It was amazing and tiring.
Okay.
The introvert in me, the battery level is about -6 at this point.
Okay, the battery level is down. Okay.
But it's been all worth it. It's been amazing. Great to have co-founder in town. Had some amazing meetings. Can't complain.
What do you think, Lon? How do you feel about it?
I feel like the vibe is very strong here. People actually want to talk to you, which feels really good. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we spend a lot of time thinking about feedback, but I actually swear people have continuous feedback on their minds. So it feels good.
Yeah. We're definitely in the space of feedback. There's no doubt about that. We've heard some really interesting people talk here in the booth about some of the challenges that they have while giving continuous feedback remotely. So, you know, post 2020, you have remote, you have hybrid, you have all these different modalities of workplace models. So what, as the feedback experts, okay, what do you all have challenges with, or maybe there are some advantages of giving feedback while being remote?
Yeah. So I think any good feedback relationship is built on having really high standards for each other, mm-hmm. paired with a really deep devotion for each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that there can be a lot of goodness around that in remote work, but it also presents challenges. One of the challenges that it presents is that you have to be really intentional with creating that relationship and having that devotion with the people that you work with. You're not going to just learn their dog's name or how they like to do XYZ around the water cooler. You're going to have to be really intentional about asking those questions, forming that relationship, and forming that trust in a remote world. Mm. Now, that can also have a positive side, because just because you're in person doesn't mean that you're doing those things.
Correct.
Maybe you do, again, around the water cooler in the hallway, you learn about them. and you form a relationship, but also maybe you kind of just let that slide because you're like, oh, I'm in person. I see them all the time. We must have a great relationship. Mm. So in being remote, it forces you to be intentional, which can also be a positive thing because it's like, all right, I got to invest in this relationship. I don't just see them around the water cooler. So I need to invest by asking them the right questions, getting to know them, and really forming that trust bond so I can give them high quality feedback throughout our relationship.
That makes so much sense. You know, would be great if there was some sort of application or tool that could help you be a little intentional. Yeah, it would be interesting, yeah, wouldn't it?
It'd be so interesting.
It'd be so interesting. So what are your thoughts, Lauren? Yeah, what are your thoughts on those things?
So I think a challenge of giving feedback, receiving feedback in a remote environment is that it can feel like it's coming out of nowhere, like an attack. And so if you don't have agreements in place, possibly a tool that says we are going to prioritize and give and receive feedback, then it can just feel like an attack. Now, on the flip side, a positive of remote work is that because you're not just seeing people, maybe going out and having drinks after work or doing run club, you don't confuse feelings with feedback as much. So a lot of times in a...
Wow, yes. Confusing feelings. Oh, Mel really likes me.
Yeah, I love hanging out with Mel.
She gives me feedback all the time because she likes me.
She's a top performer. Yes.
No, that's not the same.
No, it's not. And so, of course, you know, those bonding moments are really important, but they shouldn't be confused with the actual performance of a person on the job.
Right.
And so I think some of that removal can make it more about the pure work and is that person meeting goals. So I think there are some pros and cons, but would double down on what Mel says, that you've got to have the right foundation in place. You've got to be intentional. And then once you have those ingredients, then you can layer on feedback. And I think it can be really meaningful remotely.
Wow. That's really interesting there. Both of your ideas are really cool. You have to be intentional in this, in a remote work setting, because like, I believe remote work has exposed operational cracks, right? So it's like, no, you weren't doing it on what you thought you were doing, right? Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, you have to think about like, hey, are we doing this correctly? You know, let's not confuse just because we hang out that we've been getting this feedback. I have a question about Gusto, right? Like y'all both were at Gusto. You did some great things. What were some things that you both learned there that motivated you to transition to the concept of leadership development at Mentable? So let's start with that story. And then I got to ask, when did the tandem? So let's start with that. Like, what did you learn at Gusto? What were some of the things that you saw, some pain points that you were like, hey, we are both here. Let's start our own company. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the big things that we learned about Gusto at Gusto was the intentionality they put around leadership development.
Really?
So managers aren't even called managers at Gusto. There's a word for it. PEs, people empowers.
What?
So they really leaned into what was the role of managers in the organization. And the founders felt very strongly that it was to empower the folks that they worked with.
Oh my gosh, that's great. That's an awesome idea.
Yes.
Because like, you think of manager, now you always have those preconceived notions of what to do, but no, you're a PE.
Exactly, because people carry a lot of baggage with them around the word manager, what it's meant to them in the past.
Definitely.
And so we got a lot of training and development around this people empower movement. And I think we carried that with us, where it's like, if you invest in your people and what you care about, it'll move your organization forward.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Lauren? What did you feel like you took from
that? So when I joined Gusto, there were 40 people. And over the next 5 years, we grew from 40 people to about 1,000.
Wow.
And
wow.
Teams,
rapid growth.
Yeah. Hashtag rocket ship. What that meant is that there was sort of that trope of top performers becoming managers and then managers of managers and managers of managers of managers. And things didn't always go well. And what I got to see in like almost like a test tube, but in real life, was that not everyone is born with soft skills. Not everyone knows how to put soft skills into consistent day-to-day strategies that can create consistent management and leadership of very big, fast-growing teams. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was realizing, whoa, this isn't a thing of shame to not be a good manager.
Right.
It's more like this is totally a learned skill that we can arm people with. If you don't, the consequences are bad for everyone. Mm-hmm. But if you spend time on these soft skills, arming managers with them so that they can then empower their teams, that affects engagement, performance, retention, morale. And again, just because things were growing so quickly, it felt like being in a lab where we could see if we invest in this skill today, then tomorrow that team is going to perform better.
That's really interesting. Almost kind of like, I don't know, I like to use sports analogies a lot. It's like, just because you're a great player doesn't necessarily mean you're a great coach, right? Yeah. And, you know, like the Michael Jordan syndrome, we're probably frustrated that everybody can't fly like Mike. Like, why can't you fly like me? And I was like, no, Mike, okay, like, we need to coach him on. It's not a thing, right? So that's really interesting. So you all saw what Gusto was doing as far as empowering managers. So that led you to building Mentable, which was a leadership development program where you went in and you did workshops. I saw your workshop on the first day. What were you doing in the workshop and what was that experience like? Can you tell our audience what that workshop was about and what was the experience like?
Yeah, so our workshop here at Transform was all about zero cost engagement, harnessing the power of continuous feedback. Okay. So using continuous feedback to really engage your people, because folks are really craving both, you know, the positive stuff. Yeah, everyone gets motivated by knowing what they're doing well, but people are also craving improvement and development feedback. And so talking about how if you lean into feedback within your organization, it keeps folks engaged and keeps them there longer. Ooh. So that's what we did. Leaned on our skills from being a training company of keeping things really practical and really real. People want to hear that other people are struggling with the same things. And what have they actually done about it? Less about the theory. We know that things are based in great theory, but what do you actually go and do tomorrow to make a stronger feedback culture in your organization?
Really cool. Really cool. So, Lauren, question. By the way, you are the CEO. Mel is the COO, and you're the CEO. So can you tell our audience what is it that Tandem is trying to do and help leaders with? So you move from great workshop, by the way, lots of activities. I judge workshops based on how active people are and how much they talk to each other. And this was top notch. People on the floor.
Mel did such a good job.
It was a very good job. It was impressive, Mel. So awesome. So they know what they're doing. So now you transition from putting on workshops. What is it that Tandem's now trying to do with feedback?
Yeah. So over the course of building the Mentable, we trained thousands of managers globally. So we worked with companies with managers literally all over the world. And we did live cohort-based training of those people leaders. And what we saw over and over and over is that the number one skill that people wanted to learn about was feedback. The number one skill that they stumbled on was feedback. And, you know, the sessions where we talked about setting expectations and giving feedback were always the ones that people went back to, referred to, were the most engaged on. And when we talk to our customers, those folks in HR and, you know, executives and leadership teams, they kept coming back to, oh, but that session, that one session on feedback was the best thing, the most impactful thing. And so we started to kind of go down, kind of just pull at that thread well, what's with feedback? I mean, we've always known that feedback is important, but it kind of felt like one of those things that was surely already solved.
Right.
And you know, you're here. This is a crowded market.
Yes.
HR don't really need many more tools thrown at them.
That's true.
But when we put all the Legos out on the table, we realized that there was literally no software tool that helped humans give and receive feedback. And that blew our minds. There's performance management software.
Of course there are, yeah.
There's software that will help you document a lot of stuff, but there's nothing that helps you actually give and receive feedback.
So as a manager, it helps you?
As any employee, an individual contributor, a manager, a CEO, anyone in the company can use Tandem to give and receive high quality feedback.
Pretty cool.
It's awesome. So, and that's really where we stumbled on, wow, there's such a difference. And that if we empower people all across the company with the skill of feedback, their engagement's going to go up. Their performance is going to go up. Their retention is
going to go up. So important. So important. Especially in this space where we're working in all of these different places, flexibility, time zones. You all deal with the time zone being based in Australia. If you're not comfortable giving feedback, it's very difficult. So last question for each of you. Mel, can you tell me a little bit about you just having a, you know, a license to operate a forklift in Alaska? How did that come about?
Well, you know, you're supposed to go and get your typical summer jobs during high school. I definitely had plenty of those. I cleaned houseboats, served in restaurants, all the good stuff. One of my friends was from Alaska and was like, do you want to come up and do commercial fishing in Alaska for the summer? I was like, you know what? Okay. I could do that, or I could go clean houseboats again. Yeah. May as well go clean fish. And so before the commercial fishing season started, I worked in a cannery, and you get licensed to drive a forklift as one of the first things that you do there. It has not come in that handy since then. Although yesterday while they were setting up the booths, there was a forklift going around. I was like, tap me in, coach, tap me in.
So Lauren, earlier we were talking today, and we saw this individual with a Wolfman costume on, like a mascot.
Yes.
And we're standing next to each other. You turn to you, and I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm horrified of mascots. Can you please tell me when you realized that mascots were not the coolest thing? And by the way, I have a real close friend of mine who was mortified of Chuck E. Cheese. He couldn't even look at Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, Chuck is a little rat thing is clapping. So when did you realize
that? Yeah, so I didn't actually realize it was a pathology until it happened the first time. I was working at a company in D.C., Washington, D.C. We were at a baseball game. It was like one of those kind of wine and dine things. Mm-hmm. And in D.C., the Nationals is the baseball team.
Yep. Yep.
And their mascots are like humans, but with like 15-foot heads on their bodies. And it's like the four presidents, I think, on Mount Rushmore. Don't quiz me on that. And I honestly didn't even know it was a thing.
Of course, yeah.
But I saw them and my coworkers, the next thing they said is they were pulling me off the ground because I just like, I don't know how to describe
it.
It's just not right.
I get it. Okay? I get it. I get it.
Be a person or don't.
Listen.
But don't be in between.
Be a person or a wolf man, but don't be both. That's the best thing I've ever heard. I'm sorry. It's okay. It's not a joke, but you know, we all have our fears. I'm afraid of snakes horribly, but like we can all talk about that. Thank you for sharing that with the whole world.
Thanks, everyone.
And we'll give you some feedback on how you can deal with that as things pop up. So thank you both for having us out. We really appreciate it. Come back anytime.
You've been listening to Remotely One. Visit us at remotelyone.com/podcast for upcoming episodes. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our episodes on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, don't forget to clock out.